Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. A warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thank you for being with me today. I'm awfully glad to be keeping you company as we travel along this day. We've got a Friday in front of us, and the weekend is here. And the next time we chat, it will be December. So we've got a lot going on. And we have a great lineup once again for you, for your listening pleasure. Got John Hauser, senior pastor of Prairie Heights Community Church. So all of you friends in the Fargo-Moorhead area, turn it up. And then we're going to have Carrie Humphreys from the Best Christian Workplaces Institute. We have to make sure that we are understanding our role of work in our lives and how God has given us work. And we bring dignity to any job we do. And when we treat our job as an act of worship to Him, we do better. And then Dr. Alex McFarland will be with me in the second hour. And you know he's a regular guest and a expert on the culture and religion. And he's the creator of A Truth for a New Conference Generation. And we're going to chat with him about some of the many things that Americans, we take for granted every day. He just took an international trip. And that's always a great perspective builder when you are overseas and you come back and you go, we got it good here. Oh, my. And then Dr. Mark Rutland, and I asked him back specifically to come back and talk about his book, David the Great, Deconstructing the Man After God's Own Heart, because I kind of paged through it the first time I went and interviewed him, and then I went back and read it some more, and I thought, oh, this is deep. And his style of writing is so friendly and easy, and I learned so much about David, and it is going to be a great discussion with him coming up. So I'm looking forward to that, all in this second hour. So as we get our day started, I want to go to Psalms chapter 34, verse 8. That says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." I'll say it again. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." Maybe you're having one of those really tough days, and the instinct is to run maybe away from God or distract yourself. I would encourage you to run to Him and take refuge in Him and taste and see that He is good. Always has been, always will be. All right, we'll take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to have my first guest, John Hauser, senior pastor of Prairie Heights Community Church, on the line in just a minute.
Maybe you've experienced this. When you give a gift, seeing the response of the person receiving the gift and the joy it brings them is better than giving the gift itself. I'm Neil Stavem, Program Director for Faith Radio, and on behalf of our entire team and ministry, we say thanks to all of you who have given so generously this past year. Our hearts are full of joy and gratitude for you. And even though we may not meet face-to-face to say thanks in person, know that we're honored that you stand with Faith Radio prayerfully and financially. You made it possible for significant ministry to take place, with more people listening, new signals added to our network, and new programs bringing stories of life change, like Repurposed with Jared Sebesta, and The Jeremiah Johnston Show, addressing the hard questions about our faith and the hope we have in Christ. And all of this is a result of your partnership. So in the season of giving, we again say thanks for your gifts to Faith Radio. You can join us at myfaithradio.com.
All right. John Hauser says, "My purpose is to fuel growth wherever I go." And it's an interesting story. I've had him on the program before. In the fall of 97, he was on Interstate 94. God gave him and his wife, Terry, the thought of starting a new church in Fargo someday. Of course, that thought never left him. And through a series of only God events, they relocated to Fargo-Moorhead in March of 2000 and started Prairie Heights Community Church. And the church has grown from about three people, which was a not real busy Sunday, to over 4,000 people, with 55% of those attending not having attended church for at least 5 years prior to coming to the church. So he is doing exactly what he wants to do, and that is to fuel growth wherever he goes. He is back on the program again. Hi, John.
Hi, Bill. Good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you for agreeing to do the show again. And I always love talking to pastors. They're some of my yeah. favorite interviews because you bring wisdom and sort of a godly perspective, and you help us with deeper life issues. So thank you.
That sounds really good.
Well, that's true.
Hey, and so you're going to be live on Thursday in the cities, and is it next month we're doing live here in Fargo, was it?
Yeah, I think it's 2 months from, we're going to do live in Fargo. Matter of fact, I would come to your church and do an afternoon there if you'd like.
Oh, that would be fun.
I'd have to have your agent talk to my agent, and I've got a lot of requests.
Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of demands.
And you know what? You could do some, we have a 4 o'clock service. You could do some stand-up comedy and during the service on Sunday afternoon.
All right. Now we need to talk, all right? We'll talk later.
All right.
All right. All right. Now, to today's business, I want to talk.
Yeah,
I want to talk about how we can be, because there's so much weirdness in the world right now, how can we be more effectively yeah. demonstrating the love of Christ in a world that is so confused and hurting and angry?
Yeah.
I know you recently witnessed something at your daughter's school I'd love to hear about.
Yeah. You know, Bill, obviously for all of us, believers or not, the violence that we've seen, you know, there's the violence that we read about in Pittsburgh and just some horrific situations that have happened. But let's be honest, it goes obviously far beyond that. It's just even the animosity, the hatred, the bullying that we see, and just a lot of violence and negativity. So, you know, certainly as a pastor, but I think just as a dad, as a man, it bothers me, you know, really bothers me. And I'm like, what we're self-destructing from the inside out, it almost seems like. So, yeah, yesterday, actually, we were in the Twin Cities. I have a family member that teaches at an inner city school, and my daughter is a fifth grader. And she loves to go with this family member and help out in her classroom. My daughter wants to be a teacher someday. And so she was at school with her, just helping and just loves it and does great at it, making a difference there. So I was out in the car. My wife had gone in to pick her up and to visit with the kids and et cetera. And so I was just waiting out in the car. And boy, this bothered me. I saw the principal having to, there was a child that was very disturbed and struggling. And so the principal was physically had to carry this child out as they were kicking and screaming and wanting to bite and, you know, just the worst that you can imagine that a child, whatever was going on in that poor child's life. And so the principal carried this child out into a car, and it appeared that it was a social worker, a mental health worker that was going to be taking this child away and for evaluation and correction and whatever needed to be done. And you know, they probably spent, between the principal and the social worker, as I was watching, they probably spent 30, 35 minutes trying to get the child in the car, you know, tried, you know, getting the door shut without hurting the child, and they had to restrain the child. Anyway, I'm just watching all that play out. Oh my goodness, honestly, my heart just went out to everyone involved. Started praying for the principal. Obviously, that's got to be a hard thing to deal with at a public school. The social worker, the child, the family of that child, who knows what they experience in their home and what all's going on. And I watched as that principal, like I'd say at least 3 times, Bill, the child was in the vehicle and the principal tried walking away, and then he would come right back and either roll down the window or he would open the door, and I'm assuming was trying to give the child some hope and some positive energy and let him know that, you know, he still cares and the school cares. And then he would kind of walk away, and then he would walk back to the car, and it was like my impression was he just wanted the incident and the conversation to end as positive as possible, of course. And this was a small child. I mean, looked like maybe 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then as the car pulled away, the principal put a big smile on his face and did, you know, the real fast wave. And apparently, I can only assume, but the child must not have responded in a positive way, because then I saw the kind of a sad face come on the principal as the car pulled away. And then I watched as his shoulders drooped as his head went down to the ground and as he slowly walked back into that school. And I'll tell you, Bill, it was emotional for me. Maybe it shouldn't have, but
no, I'm fighting back tears as well.
It just reminded me. I thought, oh God, thank you for principles of care. I don't know the faith life of that principal, but I thought, you know what? There's no doubt he's not working for a paycheck. God, there's got to be way easier ways to earn a living. And it was very clear for me as a man that the patience that he showed, because I was thinking, I mean, let's be honest, if that's what I was dealing with in a school situation and wrestling with this child, trying to get him to stay in the car, and who knows what all was going on. I can only imagine the words and whatever, kicking and screaming. And I mean, I would be frustrated, right? I think mm-hmm. I would react with frustration, just disappointment, whatever. Whereas what I saw in him, honestly, just observing as an outside observer sitting in my car watching, I observed compassion, patience, doing all that he could, you know, even not wanting to walk away from the car. I was shocked. Like, you know, I can only imagine me times when my kids upset me. I just walk out of the room because I want to get back to, you know, the life different than that situation. And mm-hmm. I just watched that. So, I talked to my family member then on our car ride home, actually after school was over. And I talked to them. I said, hey, I saw a gentleman. I described him physically. I said, would that be your principal? And they said, oh, yeah, that's our principal. I said, you know, I don't know what you do or don't know about your principal, but I will say from what I observe, that is a man that cares about the kids that God has entrusted to his care. And I still might get his email address, but I asked my family member, I said, would you please let him know that I observed him and here's what I saw. I saw patience. I saw compassion. I saw love for that child. And I just want to thank him. Praise God that we have people in schools working with our kids that love those who are vulnerable, those who are perhaps in difficult situations. So, yeah, you know what, Bill? I'll just tell you, with all the events that recently have taken place in our country, and obviously it's election season, and that can get icky, maybe being a nice word for it. I just really, God just, I just felt really convicted, honestly, like, yeah. Who am I encouraging today?
I know.
Who am I?
Oh, boy.
You know, who am I?
Yeah.
You know, who's laying their heart on the line for the people in our lives, our communities? And maybe it's just a word of thanks. Maybe it's a text saying, appreciate what you do. Maybe it's instead of rushing into our houses so soon when we get home from work, park in our garage. I do this all the time, honestly. I park in my garage and I just zip into my house. You know, maybe if that neighbor's outside or that child that is walking by my house, maybe I just at least turn around, acknowledge them, build a relationship, build a connection. So as you ask me what's on my heart as a pastor, what's on my mind today, that's what's on my mind. And then I love your emphasis on Scripture. Love, love, love it. I think if I could help, in fact, I've had one goal for every person at Prairie Heights. A way that I would fuel growth in their life is I hope they're engaging with the Bible in some way every day. Because, holy cow, we're going to get hit with all sorts of different philosophies and ideologies and attitudes and situations. And God speaks to us through his word in a powerful way. So today the devotional I read was on Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, fairly well-known verse. Where God says,
I'm going to actually ask you to hit pause there for a minute because I want to get this without feeling rushed, and we do need to take a little break. And I do, before I go to break, want to say the power of affirmation. I have to tell you what a big deal that is. So if you get an email or a text message or a handwritten note to this principal, you may make his year.
I
get notes from listeners, you know, and a lot of the times you get them when you're kind of walking out feeling like you're depleted and you don't know if the show was very good, and then you'll get a note from someone saying something that just makes you weak. So, yeah, I get it. All right, John Hauser is my guest, senior pastor of Prairie Heights Community Church in Fargo. We'll take a little break and be right back. It is 21 minutes after the hour. John Hauser is my guest. He's the senior pastor of Prairie Heights Community Church in Fargo, Nodak. And John, you were talking right before the break about your devotion this morning, reading Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Would you talk about that?
Yeah, so fairly well-known passage as far as the point of it and the scripture. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And the people of Israel needed to rebuild their lives spiritually, rebuild the temple. And God asked Zechariah to share some messages with them through a series of visions that he writes about. And, of course, the point of that verse and that vision is a reminder that, you know, what we can build, there's a lot of things that we can do, but it's only through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, through living our lives under the influence of the Holy Spirit, staying in tune 24/7 under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that we can build what God wants us to build. So, you know, so I just shared before the break, Bill, I shared the story of this principal and the compassion and the care that I saw him. So, Bill, one of my goals spiritually as I walk in tune with the Holy Spirit is to narrow the gap between intentions and actions. I've learned that we tend to give ourselves credit for intentions, but we tend to intentions. I intended to write Bill a note. I intended to tell Bill how much I appreciate his show, but it. So I give myself credit for intentions, but we hold other people accountable, if you will, for actions. And at the end of the day, it's actions that actually hit my heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so during your break, I emailed that family member asking for the email address of the principal. I'm going to send him a note. I'm going to let him know what I observed in him. I saw compassion. I saw care. I saw patience that inspired me as a man, as a dad. I don't know where he is on faith spectrum, and that's not my point of my email to him, but is to say I saw positive, manly, godly characteristics.
Mm-hmm. Compassion, kindness. Oh, my gosh.
Compassion.
Yes, yeah.
And I share that. I want to let him know. So I think, Bill, maybe if I could, I'd love to throw a challenge out to every person listening. Is there one person that we typically wouldn't have encouraged before we go to bed tonight that we text, write a note, write an email, let them know that this is what we see in them, one thing that they've done that impacted us in a positive way? Can you imagine the ripple effect? So that's what I'm holding myself accountable. Next time we talk, you can ask me. So I just got I'm going to get the email address. I'm going to email them and let them know what I
mm-hmm.
saw.
I just got an email today from a friend of mine. We're kind of a birthday greeting friends because we've known each other since we've been seven, and he lives in California. And I just get this email out of the blue from him today saying, just a note to say I've been thinking of you as I often do, and wanted to say hello, and I hope all is well with you. And I thought, boy, talk about making my day.
Yeah.
You know, the power of just the surprise. And when you think, well, I'm normally not expecting to hear from him until my birthday.
Yeah.
And then just so your challenge is great, John, just to say, how hard is it to send one text or one email to someone today encouraging them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, yep. I'd love for you in the time remaining to talk about the effect it had on your daughter, because she didn't witness this, but Dad is all upset and talking about it.
Yeah.
And so was there any way that she got involved? Is there a way that children can be difference makers?
Yeah. You know what, Bill? Absolutely. So here's what happened. So, you know, we were driving home then the 4 hours from Minneapolis back to Fargo here. And we were in the vehicle and talking. She was sharing some of the kids that she helped in the classroom, in the school. And so then we got talking about this situation, certainly as I was on my cell phone as well, and she's listening to my phone call, and she heard me share, hey, please pass on to your principal the compassion that I saw in him, the patience. And so then as I got off, my daughter Brooke asked me, so Dad, what were you talking about? What happened? And so we talked about it, and I said, you know what, Brooke, I don't know the situations of that little girl's life, but my guess is that you have some huge advantages But Brooke, you were out of school today, and God gave you an opportunity to serve and make a difference in the lives of students. And some of those kids that you served today probably have some home life, and just there's some real advantages that you have of mom and dad that are together, and a mom and dad that love God and love you and encourage you and give you opportunities. And so it was an amazing conversation, really, for my daughter to see and to feel the fact that she was serving others that day. She was a difference maker. And I think, wow, as we look at our society, I just think that, you know what, it's not by might, it's not by power, you know what, it's not by politics. I'm not saying we shouldn't vote and be engaged, but at the end of the day, it is only through the Holy Spirit's leadership in our life, and then as we engage, as the Spirit taps us on the shoulder and we go in the power of God, and we allow the Lord to repair. You know, Bill, along the same line, I've just been thinking a lot too, just even as men. We're on a series called Manpower, geared towards men right now at Prairie Heights, and actually we're then heading into a parenting series called Parenthood. But this Sunday I'm going to share some about, as men, how important it is that we build relationships apart, other than folks that we maybe always are, that think the same way that we think, or mm-hmm. have the same background that we have, or even the same religion that we are, that we have to love. Loving our neighbor means building relationships with folks that have a different background, different beliefs, even different opinions than mine. Mm. I mean, shocking.
Yeah.
To truly love people who look at the world and look at an ideology or a philosophy or a politic very different than how we look, that have a very different background. But the power of those relationships, of truly being Christ, just through even building relationships with people, just acknowledging folks, you know, that look different than us and think different than I might. But just the dignity of loving people through acknowledging them, encouraging them, you know.
Yeah, amen. John,
yeah,
I just want to.
I don't know, because
we're actually out of time.
Yeah.
But I'll be praying.
That's what's on my heart today, Bill, I'll tell you.
I'll be praying for your son, who's a soldier, heading off to the Middle East for 9 months.
Yes.
Thanks for doing the show. I'll have you back on again soon, John.
Would love that, Bill.
Yeah. We'll take a
are doing an amazing job.
Thanks. We'll take a short break and be right back. Welcome back to the show. I have on our studio line Kerry Humphreys. He is the Central Regional Director at Best Christian Workplaces Institute, and they have a mission to equip and inspire Christian leaders to build a flourishing workplace. And who doesn't love that word, flourishing? I know I do. Kerry, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be here.
I love the word flourishing, and I know as I think of the generation that we are raising right now, it seems that we somehow forget that for-profit companies are the primary place we go as believers, and we go there and we plan on working there.
Indeed. You know, it's so true. I enjoyed 30 years in the marketplace, and when I left to step into a ministry role, occupational ministry role, I had some of my friends at work say, I wish I could do something, you know, for the kingdom. And it was just a privilege to be able to remind them that everything we do, you know, is part of God's mandate to take dominion and to bring the fragrance of Christ into the world, wherever we are.
Yeah. And when was the last time you heard a really great sermon on the importance of working, like even in the secular world?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I remember actually hearing one from my pastor June a year and a half ago.
Okay.
A really solid sermon. sermon.
Uh-huh.
And I asked my 88-year-old at that time, 89-year-old now, father, who had been in the body of Christ for 50 years, you know, Dad, when was the last time you heard a really good sermon on work? And he paused, you know, like 15 seconds, you know, thinking, and he said, I don't remember. And it's just a reminder that this is where everybody lives, and it's what God is so pleased with, the work that we do, whether we're balancing tires on a car or washing dishes or guiding an organization or at home teaching children or landscaping or doing surgery, we're filling the work mandate that the Lord gave us in Genesis.
And we bring dignity to any job we do if we're followers of Christ, and we should treat any job we have as an act of worship to Him, because that's how we got the job in the first place.
Yeah, indeed. I remember hearing from a friend, I know you've had Hugh Welchel at the Institute of Faith, Work, and Economics on the show before.
And we have indeed.
I remember hearing that Hugh spoke one time, and he had a guy come up to him afterwards, and he said, Mr. Welchel, I've been washing dishes for 40 years, and this is the first time anyone ever told me my work matters to God.
That's powerful, Kerry. And I remember that stuck in my brain. And I was traveling in the car, and I stopped at a truck stop and went in to use the bathroom. And there was a guy in there cleaning, and the bathroom was really clean. And I stopped and I said, I just want to thank you for the spectacular job you do. This is maybe the cleanest bathroom I've ever been in. And he looked at me and said, wow, no one's ever said that to me before.
Yeah. And when we read the Old Testament, we see, you know, God building the temple, and so many times, you know, he was appropriating the gifts and the skills. First of all, he tells us that the Spirit was in people who were doing physical labor, artists and artisans, that they were Spirit-led. And then we just see him wanting them to be excellent. You know, Bill, because we've known each other for a long time, that I was not a particularly good student.
That comes as no surprise to me.
I don't think I ever caught the vision. As a young Christian, I was serious about my faith. But I don't think I ever caught the vision that God cared about my grades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just wasn't something I thought about, that this is the work He's given me to do for this season of my life, and He cares about this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He wants me to worship Him in how I study Spanish or consumer math.
Yeah.
I'm joking, because we took that together.
Yeah, we're in the same consumer math class. They taught us how to write a check, and boy, I've done pretty well with that. So, yeah. Kerry, let's talk a little bit about only-itis, because a lot of people seem to have that. I'm only a secretary. I'm only a waitress. I'm only a guy that cuts lawns. And how painful that is, and how much I always want to try to correct them when I hear that.
Yeah. I just don't think that pleases the Lord.
I'm with you.
When we think about the work that He's given us to do, you know, 1 Chronicles 29:11-12, you know, tells us everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as being in control of everything. Riches and honor come from you alone, and you are the ruler of all mankind. Your hand controls power and might, and it's at your discretion that men are made great and given strength. That we're in the roles we're in. We even have the boss we have,
mm-hmm,
because He is sovereign.
Wow.
And has put us in those situations. Our boss may not be good in how we think about good bosses.
Yeah.
But God is in control, and is doing something in us for his glory at the moment through that situation. Go ahead, Bill.
How is the church doing in terms of affirming people in their market workplace relative to how much they want you to do and get involved at church?
Well, it's a wonderful trend, I think, in the church that Tim Keller has written about it. Other people have written about it and spoken about it more and more. There are pastors who get it and who are leaving the church building to get out and meet with their congregants in their workplace. And how can I pray for you? I heard about a pastor, actually, he's in Minnesota somewhere. I met him at a Lead Like Jesus conference here in the Twin Cities one time. And he said at their church, they have something called the This Time Tomorrow Minute. And one of the church staff will actually interview members at the podium. What will you be doing this time tomorrow?
Interesting. I love it.
And talk to them about their work. Talk to them about what are the measures of success of your work? What season of success or struggle is your organization in? How can we pray for you? And not violating confidentialities, just bringing Monday to Sunday, helping people recognize that. I think there's a number of things that are happening really sweet in that area. But as I travel around and work with occupational ministries, mission sending organizations, churches, Christian schools, Christian colleges and universities, there are still a lot of people serving in occupational ministry who say, I'm so glad that I don't work for just profit anymore. Now I get to work for the King, or I get to advance the gospel instead of just making money. Mm. And that is so much not what God thinks about when he thinks about work in the marketplace. First of all, 99% of us or 98% of us need to be providing services for life.
Right.
And need to be providing the resources for ministry to happen.
Yeah.
And so having a healthier attitude about that place, even though for some people it's been a hard place to work, and we have to be sympathetic to that and understanding, but not to throw the marketplace out with the bathwater, if you will. It is where most of us are going to serve the Lord.
Yeah. Now, Carrie, I want to hear more about your work at Best Christian Workplaces Institute. And I know the vision is to equip and inspire Christian leaders, but to build a flourishing workplace. I love the word flourishing, of course, but how do you go in and do diagnostics with companies, and what discoveries do you make? What's the trend that you see? Are things healthy or not so healthy?
Well, it's a good question. We do survey some companies. Most of the companies we work with are companies that have come to us through our work with churches or Christian colleges, through board members who serve on nonprofits, because our niche is in occupational ministries. There are great firms doing work in the marketplace. I worked in the marketplace, and we used a workplace engagement tool. But so our focus is on ministries, but we also do work through an organization called C12, which is a business leader peer network for Christian business leaders, and so we work in that space as well as with large churches, schools, et cetera, as I mentioned, and I would say that we're seeing people make great progress. And yet there are a lot of people in the workplace, in ministries and in marketplace organizations who are not very engaged. And so we try and come with a diagnostic tool. It's a brief survey, 55 positively worded questions that people are asked to, what is their level of agreement with those questions? And then we're able to gauge the health of an organization across 8 drivers. We call the Flourish model,
mm-hmm.
And then we're able to work with leaders to think about ways to get healthier.
Mm-hmm. Carrie, when you talk to people and you get in these companies, do you find that there are people that are working and they have great joy and purpose in their work, or does that feel like an anomaly? Did I just use a word you don't know what it means? Because I don't even know if I know what it means.
Yes. No, you're good. It's interesting. You know, we survey about 350 organizations a year, half of them churches, the other half a mix of mostly ministry organizations and some small and medium-sized businesses. And about half of them, we would say, are healthy.
Okay.
And about half of them are less than healthy. We have scores on a spectrum. It's a little easier to see when you can visualize it. But there's a lot of people working in healthy organizations and a lot of people working in less than healthy organizations.
All right. Take a little break. Carrie Humphreys is my guest. He's the Central Regional Director at Best Christian Workplaces Institute. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I have on our studio line Carrie Humphreys. He is the Central Regional Director at Best Christian Workplaces Institute, and we're chatting about flourishing work environments and his work. And Carrie, I think there's a lot of people always have seasons of employment, and then when employment stops and your world gets turned upside down, maybe you could speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's part of my personal story, but I served with Cargill, based here in Minneapolis, but never worked in Minneapolis with Cargill, but spent 30 years at Cargill, wonderful work experience, loved my time there.
Mm-hmm.
But back in 2008, recession, I was in the global meat industry with Cargill, downturn, some consolidation in the industry, and they had some decisions to make, which I appreciated and understood, but they, in downsizing, selected another leader instead of me for a key role, and I was without a job in the division that I had served in the city that I was living in, and was offered some opportunities other places. Our family timing at the time didn't create the flexibility for me to move, and so I made the decision that it looked like I was going to be leaving Cargill. And it's many of your listeners have faced that in one way or another. I never thought I was going to be facing that, and the body of Christ came around me in an important way. A couple of brothers that were super helpful to encourage me to stay grounded and to involve my family in that process, and through about a 10-week process, eventually, long story short, the Lord opened another door in Cargill in the city that I was living in. And I changed divisions and moved across town. But a friend of mine at the time said, Carrie, maybe the Lord is perforating you, preparing you for a separation. And it was interesting. At the time, that was before the other opportunity opened up. I slid across town into another division. But then 2 years later, the Lord opened a door for us to end our time at Cargill after 30 years, which was wonderful. And I look back on that season with great memory. And then we slid into a role with a ministry in Colorado Springs called the Navigators. In administrative leadership, I don't know that I would have been as open to joining the NAVs had the Lord not perforated me from my original role.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were in Colorado, my wife Susan went back to law school. She had always had that as a dream, raised our kids, but again, we had never lived near a law school. We now were an hour's drive from one, and so he opened a door there that she walked through, and that led us to return to Kansas when she graduated. What do you know? The Lord opened a door for her to run for office as a state representative in our neighborhood. And so what I didn't see happening, he was doing something. And now my service with the Best Christian Workplaces Institute, which I met while serving at the NABS, is really the work joy of my life. I loved my time at Cargill. I loved my time with the Navigators, and I loved my time at BCWI. So God's at work. We don't always know how, and not every story turns out, rosy in a five-year window. We never know what he's up to, but we know he's on his throne. I was just reading Daniel 4 today, and Nebuchadnezzar was helped to come to that conclusion that the Most High rules in the affairs of men.
I love it. And people, when they are in that situation, they wonder what God's will is for their life. And I think your story, Carrie, is one where God was going about doing his will in your life, and you were taking the next small step of faith, and you were keeping your ear real close to the ground and listening for God's voice, and you heard it. And now you can sort of look back and say, isn't that amazing? Can you use the word perforated a couple of times? It's interesting that a Christian brother used that word, and somehow that got into your brain, and that seemed to be kind of a natural way of extracting from a 30-year job.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it was actually a Christian sister who said the same influence. But it was interesting when Susan was thinking about law school. We sought counsel from somebody, and we were asking the sort of a typical question of, we're at this why decision point. You know, one side goes one way, one side goes the other. What do we do? And a dear Navigator friend said to us, you know, we tend to think on which path is the light of God's pleasure shining. And if we're making a decision that's not a sin decision, it's a maybe this, maybe that, the light of his pleasure is on us and is going with us on the path that we believe he's guided us to choose. And so their encouragement was, pray, seek counsel, but then go with confidence that the Lord is going with you on the path that you choose.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Now, you did mention that your wife, Susan, was running for state representative, but you never mentioned what the outcome of the election was.
Yeah, so she ran for the first time in 2016 in Kansas, in our little far east Wichita and Andover, a suburb of Wichita, and she won. And she served then for 2 years as a state representative, has just recently run again for a second term and won again. So she's serving in the Kansas legislature. She'll be sworn in again on January 14th. And it's been a wonderful experience for her. She's just really felt God's hand on her in this work. And it's been fun. I'm now in a more flexible role. I sort of work virtually, so I can work from Topeka, where we live, during the legislative season, and it's been a great thing.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of listeners would love to hear words of encouragement about their work and why it matters to God.
Yeah, indeed. You know, the Lord has called each of us into a different season and just different places. Some are home with children and full of gifts and skills to do things with adults. And yet in this season, they've made a decision to be home. Or some have, are working in a role that they feel like doesn't fully utilize their gifts and their skills. And they're trying to connect in church or community to apply some of those gifts and skills in other ways. And so I think just to know that, Navigator author Jerry Bridges, in his book, Trusting God, this reminds us that he is good and he is loving and he is completely sovereign, and that he has us where he has us right now for his good pleasure. It may be that that he's working in your heart to be doing something different, but to know that he's on his throne and there's no mistake where you are, and that in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, he's given us a mandate to live out his image. As image bearers, we are workers, and he was and is the worker that we're to model after. We don't make things out of nothing. Only he makes something out of nothing, but we can create and have an impact. And so, just I would love to encourage your listeners that the work they do matters to God.
Yeah, Carrie, we just have about a minute left. Maybe some counsel for managing anxiety if you're in that space where one door has closed, the other one has not opened yet, so you're in the middle of a dark hallway.
Yeah. For me, as I was in between, in that 10 weeks between what I thought was going to be the end of my 28 years at Cargill, it ended up opening into another couple of years before leaving, but it was to be in community, and it's the beauty of, at the end of chapter 3 of Jerry Bridges' book, Trusting God, he talks about the time to read this book is not in the crisis, it's before the crisis,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's so true, that the time to get community and plug in to a vibrant body of Christ is now. And so that when you need it, you're there, they're there for you and you're there for other people. And so just that idea of walking in the body as you're wrestling with what does God want me to do next, and letting people speak into your life, and allowing the Lord to use the Holy Spirit in your life, his word, and the counsel of others to guide you where he wants you to be.
Yeah. Carrie, I may be a tough guy, but I sure love you. Thank you very much for being my guest on the show. And I know have a long, long, long friendship. And if you want to learn more about Carrie's work at Best Christian Workplaces Institute, you can head to bcwinstitute.com and learn more about him. And his work.
.org.
I'm sorry.
.org.
is it .org?
It is .org.
Okay, bcwinstitute.org. There we go. Carrie, yeah. Thanks so much for being on the show, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Bill.
Yep, you bet. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute.
Encouragement together.
I just appreciate how it edifies me in my Christian faith. A lot of times I'll turn it on and it's exactly the message that I need to hear right then. The Lord really works through Faith Radio to get right to me. I love it.
Thanks for making us your radio home.
It's on my car radio all day as I go between my different jobs. It just feeds me all day. I so appreciate Faith Radio.
Learning, growing, and strengthening our faith together. Faith Radio.
Together, growing in our faith.
I do listen regularly, and I just appreciate that it does bring me a lot of positive hope daily, and has for many years. Sometimes you think that God...
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.